All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're taking a deep dive into a case, one that's pretty important for anyone looking to, practice law, especially anything related to property. We're looking at Petroleum Collections Inc. v. Swords. That's from way back in 1975.
Yeah, this one's a classic, definitely a case that any law student should have on their radar, especially when we're talking about the always fun world of landlord-tenant disputes.
And we're going to be zeroing in on one of those really foundational concepts, that implied covenant of quiet enjoyment. It comes up all the time, and Swords gives us like a really practical way to see how it works, and not just the theory, but how it plays out when things get messy.
Absolutely. Swords isn't just some abstract legal idea. It shows us the limits of what tenants can expect when they rely on that covenant, which I think is super valuable for anyone, starting out in law.
So to get us started, let's set the stage right. Back in 1969, we've got Texaco, the big oil company, leasing a service station out in Fresno County to a guy named Edward Swords. Now, this wasn't just any gas station lease, though. This lease included something pretty important. Like, imagine a big, bright, can't-miss-it neon Texaco sign right off the freeway. That sign was huge for drawing in customers. I mean, for a business, depending on people driving by, that sign was basically liquid gold.
Yeah, that sign wasn't just, like, advertising. It was part of the whole deal. It was essential to the property Swords was leasing. Think about it. A service station right on the freeway. It practically needs that kind of visibility to even function. So when we're talking about what Swords actually got in that lease, you got to include that sign, right? It's like part of the package.
Exactly. But here's where things get, well, interesting. A little while after Swords takes over the station, the county comes knocking. Turns out that sign, the all-important sign, is a fire hazard. No proper permits, the whole nine yards. You'd think Texaco would just fix the issue, right? Get the permits, make the signs safe, easy peasy.
You'd hope so.
But nope, they decide to just yank the sign down, gone. And what do they replace it with? An old beat up billboard that you could barely even see from the highway. Talk about a downgrade, right?
Wow, that's a pretty big problem. I mean, you have to wonder about Texaco's responsibility here. They basically took away a core feature of the property, something that was directly tied to how Swords was supposed to use the station and run his business. To just like rip it down and replace it with something practically useless. That's a pretty blatant disregard for the implied covenant of quiet enjoyment.
You can only imagine how Swords felt. He'd signed this lease with that big bright sign as a huge selling point, and suddenly it's gone. Poof. So naturally, Swords tells Texaco, hey, you got to put back a decent sign, but Texaco doesn't budge. What does Swords do? He stops paying rent. It's like, if you're not going to hold up your end of the deal, why should I?
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a pretty logical reaction, right?
Yeah.
It goes to that idea of mutually dependent covenants. A tenant's duty to pay rent is usually tied to the landlord, providing a space that's, usable for its intended purpose.
Yeah.
And here, without that sign, it's like Texaco wasn't really holding up their end of the bargain.
So about 11 months go by, and eventually they decide to just call the whole lease off. They mutually cancel it. But, and this is important, but Swords, well, technically his sublessee, they just stay put at the service station. And they don't pay rent for the rest of the time covered by that original lease. It's almost a whole other year of, like, free occupancy.
Oh, so this is where it really gets tricky. It's not just about Texaco messing up with the sign anymore. Now we're talking about Swords' actions after that breach. Like, how does a tenant need to act when they think the landlord's broken the lease?
Exactly. The big question becomes, did Texaco removing that neon sign and not replacing it with something comparable, was that a breach of the implied covenant of quiet enjoyment big enough to let Swords off the hook for paying rent? But then there's that second issue you brought up, the one the appellate court got hung up on. By staying at the station for almost a year after the sign was taken down, did Swords lose his right to withhold rent? Like, did he wait too long to do something about it?
Right. It seemed like a clear breach at first, but then Swords hangs around, doesn't pay rent, and that complicates things. And that's why, ultimately, the trial court and the appellate court, they ended up seeing things totally differently.
Right. So the trial court, they actually sided with Swords. They looked at the situation and said, yeah, taking down that sign, that was a big deal. Texaco messed up.
It makes sense, right? The trial court focused on that immediate impact. No sign, no customers. A clear interference caused by what Texaco did.
But then the appellate court steps in and they reverse the whole decision. Now get this. They didn't say Texaco didn't breach the lease. They agreed that taking down that neon sign without a proper replacement, that was a problem.
Interesting.
They acknowledged that the sign was a vital part of the property and that taking it down really did mess with Swords' business. But their focus shifted to what Swords did after that breach. It's like, okay, the landlord might have messed up, but the tenant can't just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, that's a super important point. Even if a landlord breaks the lease, a tenant still has responsibilities, certain steps they need to take to protect their rights.
And the appellate court basically said that Swords didn't get out of there fast enough. They said that by staying put for 11 months without paying rent, he basically gave up his right to say that the breach meant he didn't have to pay. And that gets us to this idea of constructive eviction.
Right. So constructive eviction basically means that if a landlord does something or doesn't do something that makes a property basically useless for what it's supposed to be used for, then the tenant can pack up and leave without worrying about rent anymore. But, and this is huge, they have to get out within a reasonable time after things go south.
So for Swords, the court said, look, Texaco might have dropped the ball with the sign, but you stayed there rent-free for almost a year after it happened. You can't just do that and then say you didn't have to pay. And this goes back to that concept of those mutually dependent covenants. Yeah, the obligation to pay rent and the right to quiet enjoyment, they're usually connected, and a landlord breaking the lease can mean the tenant doesn't have to pay. But the court made it clear that connection depends on the tenant taking action and taking it quickly.
It's all about balance, right? The landlord has to provide quiet enjoyment, but the tenant has to act decisively if that enjoyment is messed with. You can't just stay there forever without paying, even if the landlord's in the wrong.
And the appellate court spelled this out. I mean, they basically said, and I'm quoting here, if the tenant does not surrender the premises within a reasonable time, he waives the breach. Pretty straightforward, right? They're like, 11 months, you're still running the business, you even sublet the place. Nope, that's not reasonable.
And that subleasing part, that really stuck out to the appellate court. To them, it looked like Swords was saying the station was unusable, but then he turns around and sublets it. It kind of undermined his whole argument. It made it seem like he was trying to, like, take advantage of the situation without actually following the rules.
So for all you future lawyers out there, what are the big takeaways? The first thing Petroleum Collections Inc. v. Swords really shows us is that timing is everything. When a landlord does something or fails to do something that messes with your ability to use a property, you can't just stop paying rent and stay there. You got to act fast or you might lose your rights completely. And when we're talking constructive eviction, acting fast usually means getting out within a reasonable time.
Yeah, this case is like a crash course in constructive eviction. Lesson one, if you're going to use it, you got to move out quickly.
Another point, landlords have to keep up their end of the bargain. Essential features, the things that are vital to a tenant's business, those can't just be taken away. That neon sign was a perfect example. It wasn't just pretty, it was a big part of how that service station was supposed to make money.
Right. Landlords can't just decide to get rid of something crucial. That kind of move can land them in hot water, legally speaking.
And finally, this case shows us the different options tenants have when a landlord breaches a lease. Swords could have gone after Texaco for damages, maybe by taking it out of the rent he owed them, or by leaving and then suing them separately for the money he lost because of that missing sign. But by just staying put and not paying rent for nearly a year, he kind of painted himself into a corner.
He took a gamble, and it didn't pay off. Yeah, he was frustrated, but the court basically said, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, legally speaking.
So the bottom line, the big lesson from Petroleum Collections Inc. v. Swords is this. Landlords can't just go around removing key parts of a property without risking some serious consequences. That implied covenant of quiet enjoyment is there for a reason. But tenants, if you're dealing with a breach, you gotta act fast. If it's messing with your ability to use the property, you usually need to move out and do it within a reasonable time. If you don't, you might lose your right to fight back.
Exactly. And that leads to one last thought for you to ponder. Think about how these ideas, these legal principles, apply in today's world. What would be like that big, bright sign today? What's essential for businesses now, especially with online stores and all the different ways people do business these days? And what would a court consider a reasonable time to vacate a property now? Things change fast, and keeping up with how these concepts play out in the real world, that's a huge part of being a good lawyer.
It's something to definitely keep in mind as you keep learning. All right, that's it for this deep dive. Catch you next time.